listening to the Daily Gold Podcast, covering precious metals, the junior mining sector, and global capital markets for intelligent investors. Now, here is your host, Jordan Roy Byrne.
Hello again, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Daily Gold Podcast. Today on this episode, we have with us David Morgan. He's the editor and publisher of The Morgan Report. You can find that at themorganreport.com. And I like having David on because there's no one that I can think of that has the experience that David has in the precious metals market going back decades. David, I don't mean to date you, but it is true. You do have a lot of experience in this market compared to most people in the market. Thanks for coming on today. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well, and thank you for asking. And I'll have to say, yes, a lot has to do with I've lived this long. There's really only a few that are around that are older than me. One would be Jim Sinclair, certainly Mr. Gold, and the other one would be the infamous or famous Jimmy Dines. And, you know, there's not a lot left. I mean, you know, the Howard Ruffs and the Harry Browns, I mean, these guys are no longer with us. And we've got, I'm not sure about Ruff, but I know Harry passed away several years ago, one of my mentors, actually. So, yeah, I've got the gray hair to prove it. But experience does count for something. And thank you for the introduction.
Now, as we get started, I think it's been, I want to say roughly about 2 years since we've talked, and a lot has happened, a lot has changed, probably in your view, in the precious metals market. Can you give our audience your big picture view of precious metals with respect to recent developments over the last, let's say, year to 18 months?
Absolutely. First of all, I'm absolutely convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that the intermediate term bottom is in, and that happened at the end of 2015. We had a very robust 2016 from the January to the summer, and I actually made the call for the website members and said, look, this is enough. If you have trading positions like me, because I teach to have a core holding you don't touch, basically, and then you can trade part of your positions. And so I caught the top and let everyone know, and then it trickled down to the end of the year. However, you know, if you look at Investor's Business Daily year over year, which means, you know, January 1st to December 31st, the gold miners were still the number one classification for best gains for 2016. And that was even with the up and the down, because it did give back a lot to the end of the year, as you know. So that's number one. I think people want to know that, you know, the bottom is in. And boy, it was a struggle. I mean, one of the miscalculations I made was, once, you know, we went parabolic and I called that top, I knew that we would have some backing and filling, as I say, in the commodities market, you know, manipulated or not. I knew there would be a long period of time before we built a base back and were able to start back up. And I thought, Jordan, we'd be at 2 years, three at the most. And it basically took five. So I miscalculated how long it would take. Regardless of that, we are where we are now. And this year is going to be choppy, basically up, but I think it's going to be more demanding as far as if you're going to trade this market, how to do it, and, you know, where to get in, where to get out. And I'll just give everybody, perhaps I'll anticipate the next answer. Well, okay, David, where do you get in? I'd say anything under $1,250 gold and anything under $20 silver from a long-term perspective is probably very, very safe. That doesn't mean we're not going to test, you know, 1150 gold or 1650 silver. Certainly that's a possibility. Could it go lower than that? Possibly. I doubt it, but it could. But if you have a long-term perspective, and the other thing, as we discussed pre-show, is, you know, how much is enough? And that's an individual choice, but for most people, 10% is probably enough. I mean, Jim Rickards is in the 10% camp. When I wrote the 10 Rules of Silver Investing in that publication, you can check it out. I said 10%. A lot of people that get the, you know, fiat money story get, I'll say, over-enthused, and it's like, well, they always fail, and they do. Therefore, that means I should go, you know, all in gold and silver, and that isn't really true. I mean, you're actually better off with diversification of some type. Now, you know, for the record, am I over 10%? You bet I am. But I'm, you know, that's my specialty. It's what I'm most comfortable in, and, you know, I've been in this risk-reward profile for a very long time, so I can take the heat, so to speak. Plus, I trade the market. I mean, you know, I took the positions off in the summer of last year, I mean, you know, it puts a smile on your face.
Okay, now you kind of answered my next question, but I'll just press you a little bit just with respect to where we are now. I mean, it sounds like you think we're kind of in a range bound market for this year. With respect to, I mean, where we are now in the spring and the summer, do you think we're more likely to go to the lower end of that range or the upper end?
Well, as of this interview, subject to change, because I'm really an advocate of what the great Richard Russell taught, and of course he's deceased as well. But, you know, I'll let the market tell me. What the market is saying right now is we're going to the lower range. And, you know, until that changes, and, you know, we discussed, you know, well, what's going to get this market, you know, up and going again? And the answer is more buying. And, you know, it's a real curt answer. Well, thanks, David. But it's true. That is what it takes. It's going to take more buying than we're currently seeing. And I think that it's going to be more buying from new investors. I think a lot of, you know, the gold bulls, gold bugs, silver bugs, whatever nomenclature you care to use, they're kind of burnt out. You know, they've held on maybe through this 5-year downtrend. They had a pretty good year last year, maybe didn't take advantage of it. And they've been holding their $20 silver for a long time. And they only saw $20 reached in 2016 and didn't stay at that level for very long. And so many of them are just, I've got enough. And, you know, that's pretty much what I teach for most people, you know. I mean, enough is enough. If you've got 10%, you really don't need to add to it. Of course, it's a, you know, free choice. So that means that you need new people coming into the market. Well, the miners, the shares, certainly are not doing what they used to do in the previous bull market because there's so many other places to go. I mean, with all these ETFs that are available with, you know, the SLV and the GLT to name the top two, but there's, you know, the GDX, the GDXJ, there's all kinds of ETFs that are double or triple times up or down. There's all kinds of internet places that you can buy and store metal. So there's a lot of places now available where a person that wants, or entity or hedge fund or whatever, wants to buy into the gold and silver story has a lot more options than there were available, let's say, in the 1970s bull market.
So then do you think that is the big explanation for why just over the last 10, 12 years, the stocks have really underperformed the metals?
I think it's one of the primary reasons. And also, you know, to throw rocks at them, and I own a lot of these miners. I own a special classification in most cases because of how they're structured. They make money regardless of what the price of gold and silver do. So those royalty type of situations have served us very, very well. We do have some outside of that space, but the big money is concentrated in that specialized part of the gold and silver story. And we look at all the commodities. I mean, that's why rebranded the Morgan Report. You know, we were one of the first on the rare earth elements story, for an example. And, you know, we've covered uranium, we still do, lithium, molybdenum, copper, zinc, lead. I mean, we were the first on the zinc story coming into a short supply, which is true. The banks picked it up about a year after we did. So, you know, the Morgan Report looks at more than just gold and silver. Do we spend most of our time in the precious metals? Yes, we do. But we also look at value across the board, and we found it, you know, in, oh, cobalt, for example. This is a story that's now popular. So we look across the board, and I'm sorry I talk so much. You have to give me the question again. Oh, stocks, why did they underperform? Part of it's been mismanagement of the companies themselves. For example, I won't give names, but there's a pretty well-known NYSE silver gold company, and they bought a very good mine, but they paid way too much for it. And they did it at the top of the market. I mean, if you're savvy in this business, you need to buy when, you know, I hate the expression, blood in the streets. You want to buy low. And it just seems to be, not all cases, but many cases, more than half, these management of these companies can be called out by me, and I'll try to do it in a gentle but firm way, really are not allocating their resources in a judicious way. and they get behind the power curve. In other words, they're spending their money when they shouldn't, and they're saving it when they probably should be spending it. And that's unfortunate. So I'd say that's part of the reason as well.
Let me circle back to what has to happen to get these precious metals markets moving again. Obviously, I'll go ahead and give part of the answer. You would probably say is time, just because we have to digest the big moves. But you mentioned new buyers coming in. Not that you could predict every single thing that's going to happen, but to go a step further, what do you think is going to make these new buyers come into the market? Is it the stock market cracking? Is it the bond market cracking? Is it inflation taking off? I mean, which of those things or which other thing do you think could be a catalyst for the next move up?
I think the next move up usually are buying, obviously, and I'm trying to be a bit humorous here, but usually markets are driven by two basic emotions. They're not driven by logic. They're not driven by crunching the numbers, although that's a help, a tool, and we do it ourselves, but it's driven by greed or fear. I think the next move up will be based on fear, not on greed, because we have a synergy of problems that are real problems that are discounted by the market at the current time, such as what? One, the bond market. The debt markets are in disarray. You look at what's going on with Japan. A lot of their debt has been sold off substantially. And the U.S. debt, of course, is the kingpin of the entire global financial system. You know, the BRICS have tried to stand aside from that, and they may circumvent some of the problems when this debt bomb explodes. But nonetheless, there's no way out. Everybody is tied to the U.S. dollar one way, shape, or form. So that's number one. Number two is the stock market. Now, right now, the percentage of New York stocks over the 50 and 200-day moving averages are turning back up. That's the market talking to me. What does it say? It's saying that the stock market is looking good, especially when you're starting to look at the top tier, the NYSE stocks, which means gold is the most negatively correlated to the stock market. Well, if stocks are showing strength, that implies gold is not going to be as strong. So again, to repeat what we talked about earlier, Jordan, I think that gold has probably hit more of the top of the range than the bottom of the range. But what's going to move the market? Well, there's the pension problem. There's people out there that have pensions that are oblivious to the fact that most of these are underfunded and they're never going to get what they think. You have problems with, and that's across the board. That's not only with private corporations. That's what's available to, let's say, civil service employees, which are government employees that are, you know, going to get a retirement or a pension, and those that are in the military. So there's this huge problem in the pension arena. There's also this huge problem with the next banking crisis, because the Dodd-Frank bill stipulates explicitly that there cannot be a bailout anymore. The Fed cannot come to the rescue. The banks have to bail in, which means anyone that's got savings is sitting out there and vulnerable to the law, which says, you know, XYZ bank starts to have a big problem, they're just going to look at the depositors, because you are actually an unsecured asset to the bank. In other words, the bank looks at it as their money, not your money, once you deposit it. So that's something that most people are oblivious to. So you have a pension problem, you have a debt problem, you have a stock market that's overvalued by any metric that you want to measure it by, and yet it's still going, looking as if right now, as we're doing the interview, as it's going to continue relative strength for a while. And to be consistent, because I do a lot of interviews, as you know, I mean, the market to me has already gone through the distribution pattern, and the markup is in place and may continue for a while longer. And the markup is where the people that have been fooled into thinking that stocks only go up and hope for the long term, and when they come back down, just don't, you know, gut it out because it always goes up, you know, kind of like the real estate story, which was a fib. And so they mark up, and this gives the professionals a chance to short the market at the tippy top, and then the markdown comes. And once the markdown comes, the pros are on the correct side of the market, which means they're short, and anticipate a falling stock market. So when that happens, the gold and the gold stocks and the precious metals will probably follow suit. And the reason is we're in a paper paradigm. Almost anybody that's a fund manager, money manager, or anyone that has large accounts that has protected themselves with the gold story still will see everything selling off at the same time. We saw that in 2008. You'll see it in a big move down. You will see that. But gold will be the first to recover. And usually the percentage decrease in the value of gold on a paper price term is less than you'd see, let's say, in an equity basket or something, or in the bond market. So you got the bonds that could explode or will explode at some point. Stocks will explode at some point. Pensions aren't there. Your bank account is in jeopardy. And you see inflation, but you never talk about it, because one of the key things that a lot of manufacturers of foodstuffs do is they keep the same price, but the box is smaller. So what you used to get for, you know, 12 ounces, you now get 10 ounces. And you kind of get it, but you kind of don't, because most people don't look at the box and say, is this box smaller than the last time I bought, you know, Cheerios or whatever the heck it is? And that happens all the time. So there's this insidious inflation that the government keeps saying, you know, from their metric is benign. It's, you know, less than 2%, and why worry about it? But that's not counting stuff that really means something, like food and energy, or what it costs you to live with a roof over your head.
Yeah, as you say that, I'm thinking about, you know, you buy a bag of chips, and it's like you open the bag, and I mean, there's just air in it until like the halfway point. I mean, sorry to get off track, but that's just what I was thinking about when you mentioned that. Okay, let me move on. Okay, before we close, David, can you tell our audience, can you just give us something that will help them make money in the months ahead? I mean, it doesn't have to be a stock pick. Just in your own words, just share some wisdom that can help us make some money in the months ahead.
Certainly, I could talk about very serious investors that have pretty high net worths, and for those people, I just did a mastermind episode with a gentleman I met at a financial summit that specializes in covered call writings, and I had him do a webinar for us for our group, and he showed, and I was surprised. I knew the betas are high in the miners and the ones that are in our portfolio. And if you took a basket of those, you would actually yield something around the 40% level writing covered calls month after month, which is a heck of an income. Not that you wouldn't be called out in a few of the stocks here and there, but it was interesting to me, because I knew ahead of time it'd be at least 17%. So that's for people that own, you know, top-tier cash-rich unhedged mining companies like we feature in Morgan Report. On the other end of the scale, the ones that everybody loves and almost all newsletter writers spend their lifetime in, and I've tried to avoid, but I couldn't. I have to do it because, one, every now and then there's something so startling you have to get on the story, and one is this this new reagent that is going to, let me restate that, that could potentially replace cyanide. When cyanide came on the fore in the early 1980s, it drastically changed the entire mining industry. Most people don't know that, but it did. So now here we are, you know, 30, 40 years later, and we're in a situation that could, not would, but could be another big game changer. So there's a speculative situation that I've talked about for the last few months. The stock just became trading on the 30th of March, and it's highly speculative. And what I teach, Jordan, as you know, you follow my work for years, is that, you know, bet a little to win a lot. This is not, you know, be big or go home. I don't like that approach at all. It's like, let the company prove that they're going to do what their story is. And if they come through, then we can always add as it becomes a more dynamic, more robust, and higher cash flow company. But it's nice to get in early if things work out. And I do believe in this case they will. And another one is something I haven't done in a long, long time, again, where most newsletter writers are out of business, and that's the exploration companies. I didn't touch many of those the whole time I've been in business on the internet, but I have gotten a few. And I've got one now that I am very, very convinced has a very excellent shot at being quite a big story 2 or 3 years from now. It's based primarily on the region that it's in and who the management team is. And I do have some inside information. I can't say it. It's illegal. I have to wait for it to be publicly disclosed. But everybody that's listening to your show, I suggest they get on themorganreport.com and give us their name and an email, because this will be one of the very few times that I may put this company out to the free list. Most of the time, the people that pay us, you know, we just keep our stock list for them and them only. And the companies that are used on the free list are companies that we put right at the top. You're getting this as part of your free e-letter, and this is a company that has paid us to be on our list. And I vet those. I don't put any junk on there, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's in the Morgan Report. In this case, I'm pretty sure that once my people have had a chance to buy this company, and they've already had a month, and I'm going to hit them hard, make sure that people that want the speculation have it, and then I'll put it out and onto the free list so people will, you know, because that's a large list. And those that pay attention will, you know, get that pick for free. And, you know, down the road to say, oh, my goodness, you know, this thing is better than anything else in the exploration category as far as silver gold discoveries are concerned. I guess, you know, David knows what he's doing. And as a, not a pat on the back, believe me, the market has humbled me many, many times, Jordan, as it has you. But, you know, I've come through it and I've made more money than I've lost. I'm not afraid to admit when I make a mistake. I'm not afraid to take a loss and move on. And all the things that make you a serious seasoned investor, I've certainly paid the price for many years ago. And, you know, where I'm at right now, I don't get it right all the time, but I get it right enough where I sleep well at night constantly. So I guess that says something.
Well, thanks for that, David. And so to tell our listeners how they can follow your work, how can they get on your free list as well as sign up for your premium service?
There is the main site is themorganreport.com. That's the easiest way. There's another one that you might want to know about for your listeners, Jordan, and that is richesandresources.com. It's richesinresources.com, all one word. I have the Riches and Resources download there, same thing. You'll be on the same list, so you don't have to get on both. The system will know you're the same person, but as long as you use the same email. But that is, I think it's an 11-page PDF file that I wrote personally, and it gives you two movies to access, one on the decline of the Age of Empire, and the other one is The Empty ATM, which shows what happens in a currency crisis. It's actually a documentary on what happened in Argentina in the currency crisis in 2000. So a lot of times I get asked, and I know you do too, you know, what's it going to look like? What's it going to be like? And the answer is no one really knows, but we have a documentary that shows what happened to a fairly robust nation state. I'm not saying that Argentina and the United States are equivalent, but people are people. And it does give you a good insight into what the reaction was when the banks basically closed on the people and what they had to cope with and how they dealt with it.
Okay, David, thanks so much for joining me and coming on here today. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we can have you back in the months ahead when precious metals are further into this holding pattern and you know, closer to breaking out, I guess I could say. Thanks again, David, and again, everyone, go to themorganreport.com or richesandresources.com and you can sign up there and get on David's free list. David, thanks for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into the Daily Gold Podcast. For more interviews, editorials, and analysis, log on to thedailygold.com. And for premium coverage of precious metals and the best junior mining companies, visit thedailygold.com/premium.